Ipse leads the way.
Ipse.
One system, personnel, and pay.
Ipse.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us for season 3 of our podcast. We give you updates on what's going on with Ipse. We're ready to roll with season 3 for release 3. I'm Colonel Rebecca Eggers, the Functional Management Division Chief, and today I'm joined by Lieutenant Colonel John Elko, our deployment lead, and Lieutenant Colonel Brian Hollinsworth, our R3 build, design, test, and now sustainment lead. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, ma'am.
Morning, ma'am.
So I can officially say that we've started off the new year with a new system. Ipse Release 3 is live. HR professionals gained access on December 20th, and all self-service users gained access on January 17th. You know, we did have a lot that we had to accomplish between December 20th and now. You know, units had to make sure they had their access correct. They had their S1 pools set up so that users could route actions when they came on the system. And we've really wanted to watch the data flow through the process, since this will be the first time that we're really watching all of those interfaces run for a period. But this is a very exciting time. And even though things are really busy behind the scenes, it's important for us to look back on all the progress we've made and understand how far we've come. You know, the launch of Release 3 is a testament to everyone's hard work and ability to achieve momentous objectives. That being said, launching Ipse Release 3 is really just the beginning. But there have been a lot of areas to address and focus to get this right. Lieutenant Colonel Elko, what would you say has been our biggest priority since go live?
Thanks, ma'am. Now, right off the bat, we went live with some access issues in the field. We identified that the issues stemmed from a day zero task that in some places didn't get closed out by cutover team members during the identified window. And that task was applying roles, permissions, and row set class for their day one users. This created a trickle-down issue with access requests because validators can only approve requests that come in after their own access is approved. So the first week, we had a backlog of a few thousand access requests that in most cases defaulted to program personnel to resolve. Now, we initially burned down as many as we could, and we adjusted our focus and our messaging. Now, our focus here in the Ops Center became approving validators in the field and making sure that the messaging was getting out that those validators can only action requests that came in after their own access is granted. Now, we've continued to work to clear that backlog with a small number of program personnel who are able to work those approvals in the meantime. And we've got the week one requests into the hundreds instead of the thousands, but we're encouraged the field. If you've got a local validator, if you have access requests that have been pending for weeks, cancel and resubmit so they can be quickly handled at the local level. We're glad to continue to help. We don't want to cancel those from the program level, but if you've got a local validator now, we highly recommend canceling and resubmitting to get those knocked out more quickly.
Thanks, John. And did you think this will continue to be an area of focus as we move forward?
I do, ma'am. I believe that bringing Ipse back to current accountability is the biggest issue on everybody's minds right now. That goes hand in hand with access. As more users get into the system and gain an understanding of what work needs to be done, who needs to do it, and what level of access they need to bring their rosters back to current, we'll see more access requests come in. But I think after the drill we've gone through over the last 30 days or so, we're well positioned. That's how the phased approach of HR pros, then commanders, and now self-service users really set the stage for the field to be able to help themselves. Those HR pros understanding the capabilities of Ipse is going to be crucial. We've seen a lot of access requests come in with people swinging for the fences in terms of what they think they need. I think we're conditioned for that, right? In legacy, you basically had view access to your UIC, DML, or DMSL, or access to everything with top of system world access. Ipse is a lot more nuanced, with the ability to build custom row set class that's almost like task organizing your organization so that you can see all the UICs that you need and none that you don't. So I would encourage the field, continue to learn about roles and subcats, and what permission they give to perform which actions in the system so that you're submitting informed requests. We'll, of course, continue to support through the Ops Center along with our training products and the user manual. Now, speaking of the Ops Center, we've had a huge effort right now to get RFIs where they can and should be answered. We see them coming in from everywhere. We get them from email, we get phone calls, we get social media, and so on down the line. We're doing our best to funnel everything into our team on Teams. That's Ipse Go Live Cutover Support. That's where our instructors and other program SMEs are standing by to field. And our team's monitoring to use those volume RFIs to update the knowledge base so the system starts to inform itself. Now, the big win there is we can answer those RFIs publicly. So we're not just answering for the person who asked, but for everybody who may experience the issue down the line. The other RFI issue we're fighting is RFIs related to other systems. Now, we weren't the only system who browned out or transitioned during this time, but we're hearing a lot of feedback about issues related to those systems being attributed to IPSE. A lot of it's related, but we're working with our enterprise-level counterparts to make sure that those RFIs are being fielded where they live.
Yeah, I appreciate that information, John. No, it is, I feel like a little bit of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears sometimes when it comes to access requests. You know, you've got folks that are really under-provisioned and can't see what they need. You've got folks that are over-provisioned and have way more access than they need, which actually is not a good thing because you start to see different functionality pop up. And if you don't know what you're doing, it can quickly get out of control. And then there's some that really have been able to get their access request just right for, you know, so that they're not getting extraneous notifications and things like that. So, I mean, there is definitely a sweet spot, but it does take understanding what all those row set class differences mean for your unit. And then, certainly there's just a lot to learn. So we do want people to just really focus on, you know, one step at a time, you know, how do I get accountability of my folks? And then, you know, work your way into some of the harder pieces as they come up. So let's talk about other areas we're focusing on now that the system's live. You know, as with any software we use on a daily basis, like Teams or Google Maps, IPSE is going to require some testing to find items that need correcting or updating. You know, we did a lot of robust testing, but you can't test every possible scenario that's out there. And, you know, when you start to bring users on that are less familiar with the system, you really start to, you know, be able to work through some of the issues that you maybe didn't see in tests. So, Lieutenant Colonel Hollinsworth, what bugs are we seeing with Release 3 and how are we doing with getting them resolved and addressing concerns?
Absolutely, ma'am. Great question. And to your point, as we moved into a go live scenario, obviously the testing we did building to this point, 18 or more months to do so, see volume. So some of the areas that we've seen just from the high level, looking at retirement points. So if you look at retirement points, the system provides a capability for members to see, you know, retirement eligibility, et cetera. Well, that's all derived off of job data. So as we went live, sort of unpack as we did the final conversion. We had mock conversions leading to this point, so we didn't just go blindly into go live. But once we went live, we got to see the final results of the actual conversion as we pulled together records from TAPDBR, email PO, TOPMIS, et cetera. And so what we found is that the functionality is doing exactly what you'd want, but the data underlying it is not there what it needs to be. So what we're doing that is identifying conversion issues, for example, and then that would be a data fix because we still have the source records. So for those who are listening in or fearful that we converted and now it's just all disappeared into ether, that's not true. We still have the data that we can refer back to, and that's what we're using to make sure that the records are as complete as possible so we can minimize the impact on HR professionals who will continue to refine data for HR, for our soldiers rather. Promotions is another area. Really, promotions we always knew was very integrated. I'm heavily reliant on external systems to send me data such as ACFT or APFT, weapons qualification. And so if those systems aren't providing me the appropriate data or the triggers, it's hard for me to know. So a good example would be whether someone in a unit is their primary weapon. So I need to know the primary weapon for promotion points for our junior enlisted soldiers. If I don't have that, it becomes a bit of a challenge for us in order to get promotion points to be accurate so the member can be taken care of. The other kind of large looming area that we've seen since going live is assignments. And it's really tied to integration from our external partners. And so, you know, Colonel Elko alluded to the fact that we have dependencies on partners to send us files and data. And one of those really was from Human Resources Command to send us those people who are on a reassignment during brownout. That allows the assignment to be there for the future assignment so that member can be arrived. So if Private Hollinsworth was moving during brownout and I arrived to, you know, Fort Polk, Louisiana, I can be arrived if there's an assignment there. And so there's a bit of catch up there. It's you know, we deliberately did not pause the movement windows again just to avoid disruption. But part of that is we have a dependency on Human Resources Command to send that file. And we're uncoiling that now. There's some integration with our Army organizational server. So I think the Army writ large is learning about how do we fix it. So the bugs for IPSE's perspective is allowing us to allow arrivals We're seeing, you know, members who can't be arrived on an assignment come from our initial hire. So those are bugs or defects. Those get adjudicated, and our system integrator really has been burning those down or resolving those, you know, in a very timely fashion. So, you know, in testing, it was holding up a process to see that with the system function and to go live, now I'm affecting the ability for a member to move himself or their family. So really a lot of work from the functional team to help prioritize what needs to get done in a timely manner so that we can take care of soldiers. And, you know, we haven't, aside from the integration of external data, there hasn't been any huge show-stopping issues we've seen to date.
Thanks, Brian. And so you mentioned a couple examples. Is there a list or is there a document or a place where users may see, you know, what types of items that we're seeing aside from what you already mentioned? And then what do they do when they encounter an error in data in their file or something like that?
Absolutely, ma'am. So we do use the announcements tile within IPSA to highlight if we're seeing user issues. And that allows somebody to go in self-service or HR Pro to understand if there's functionality that's being degraded. So the retirement points is a good example. Initially, we disabled the tile, so there was a notification that went up to explain this tile is no longer available. And we're also putting additional user prompts. So if you navigate to retirement points and you're not U.S. Army Reserve, there's a prompt at the top that reminds you that this functionality is really intended for the USA Army Reserve, and that we'll fix it, and obviously it'll be available to the total Army shortly. So that's how we're addressing it, so that a member's not confused and not having to speculate, hey, is this working or not? I'm trying to over-communicate. We also have a daily command update brief where we put it out to our senior commands to explain functionality that may be degraded in a way. If some process is broken, we're providing the appropriate workaround of how do we resolve that, even if that means that at the program level, we're using elevated privileges to do transactions for members. Again, the end state is to do no harm to soldiers and families. And so that's how we work around that. A really good example of how we saw that was the DD Form 93, you know, allowing members to go in and select the appropriate family members. So we found some issues, and this kind of gets to your second question of how do you tell somebody? Because you see something, how do you say something? And so primarily we'll use the CRM, our customer relationship module. That's what we'll point people to, not because we want it to be cumbersome, but really that allows us to start tracing with the needed detail to find the root cause of the issue. The other things we'll do is a lot of installations have over-the-shoulder support. If you don't have physical presence, there is virtual over-the-shoulder support, and Colonel Elko alluded to that earlier. But we've also seen folks using social media, and we're okay with that. I would just ask is people put information on social media, they're as precise as possible. Do not expose, you know, personal information, but allow us to help people find a resolution to the problem. You know, there's no issue with us, you know, working this collectively. I've seen even on those threads, as members will highlight issues. Some of our Release 2 alums, the National Guard team, who's been using IPSA for a while now, are providing very accurate and timely feedback. And if there's something that they can't solve, obviously it comes to us. And so for us, really, the first point of entry, like I said, would be CRM, using OTSS or using social media, or they can email anyone on the program. That's what the functional teams are here for, really to help triage and move a member's file forward as possible.
You know, to your point about social media and really the three components, I think input from the field is exactly what we need, because that's the only way we kind of see how big of an issue something is, or really if it's just a soldier's record in particular. I mean, even if one soldier thinks they have an issue, I think we've all learned that it normally means that several soldiers probably have the same issue, and it allows us to correct that. You know, for social media, what I've seen is a bit of an evolution where other users, you know, are beginning to answer the posters' questions, which is always good. There is a little bit of a, hey, we have three components in one. So I think there is a bit of context in that, you know, the USAR, the active component, and the Guard don't all do things the same. So I think we do have to just make sure we keep in account, you know, who the user's component is, you know, up front, because the answer may be different. Because I see a lot of the posts from the National Guard, which is great. But some of it doesn't apply to, say, the, you know, the USAR or the active component. So I think we just need to keep that in mind. CRM is very simple. You know, you just go to your IPSE Help Center tile and then click on that and click create a case. We've tried to make it as simple as possible for users to really reach out. We want to hear from folks through any means that, you know, obviously the groups and the teams channels that Lieutenant Colonel Alco mentioned are a great way to get feedback very quickly. Social media is a way to get responses, but we're not managing that quite as closely as we are those teams. So, you know, I do encourage folks to make sure that they go into those teams channels. It's important for us to hear from users because this is an Army system. It's not just HR professionals. We want to hear from the soldiers as well. So in regard to these improvements, what can you tell us about the schedule for the remaining work that has to be done? Do we have a timeline or, you know, how are we working the schedule for fixes that we have that we already know we need to do?
Absolutely. Great question, ma'am. If you want, we'll just go into a separate podcast now and I'll talk for the next hour and a half. I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, for us, we have daily releases that are going in. That's the cadence we offer break fixes. So as the system integrator finds issues, we release those on a nightly after doing thorough testing, of course, because we don't want to introduce additional code into IPSE that causes a bigger issue. And so we're releasing daily for break fix type activities. And some of that includes, to your point, ma'am, like protective actions to make sure that one component isn't doing something that needs to be done or, you know, provides appropriate guardrails, as I like to call them. We also have a monthly release schedule. And so for those who may have heard us talk or seen, you know, there's additional capabilities that gets filtered over time and space. So, you know, even during tests, as far back as limited user test, we had various enhancements, things that we knew that user would need. It wasn't needed for go live, but it would be needed shortly after. And so that's really what we're working for. So a good example of that would be updates to leave policies that were recently enacted in accordance with law. And so those items get released on a monthly basis. Obviously, again, the intent, we have to test it thoroughly. We'll do a monthly cadence. And then eventually the program's objective is to get to every 2 weeks, we're doing sprints and releasing software in a timely manner. So the initial, as we've gone live, a lot of the changes that users will see in the next 60 to 90 days are really tied to law, regulation, and policy. And these are obviously things that we have to do to adhere to law primarily, but there's some kind of regulatory guidance that's come out. How do we enforce that? And so you'll see that. And then as we get into essentially April, May timeframe, you'll start to see additional capabilities and the program's working out as far as, you know, marketplace enhancements. Additional usability for our HRC partners as they're navigating their legacy systems. And so users should expect daily, follow the announcement style. That's where we put in our release notes. And we try to be very precise as to what affects that. That's something to be conditioned to. I know that as a Brigade One, I never really saw an email per topmas where things were happening, but our HR pros can go daily while they're drinking their coffee or their beverage of choice and see what's changed in the system and then know how that affects their operations and then obviously move out. And then we'll continue to reinforce that with additional symposiums, webinars from the team, because it can be a bit much. We acknowledge that here. You know, our team's really savvy with the system because they're hands on keyboard from testing throughout and obviously having the privilege of being here from design through now capability support. It's understood because they understand some of the workings. And so the way we notify you that the timing is the tiles, but then also to go back and reinforce it with very targeted webinars and discussions with the field, just to kind of ensure that we're doing change management in a very proactive way.
All right. I thank both of you for being here and sharing all of that great information. And I'm sure I'll have both of you back here for another podcast shortly. And thank you for listening, as well as for your continued engagement, dedication, and support. We owe soldiers a system that has full transparency of their personnel actions. And we've delivered that. We want to make sure that we are transparent. We want to make sure that we provide access to soldiers' records at their fingertips. And we want to optimize Army readiness and provide a talent management system for the Army. And we've done that, and it's something that the Army can be proud of. Until next time, IPSE is your system.
Soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.